This recording, Florida 2, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah was a nurse who had been working in a deserted district of the territory for a long time, so she was very happy to start a new job in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain white dress in a furry, yellow fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah a letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the bird. Soon, the goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it took some force to trap her, but Sarah managed by gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing to her. Her efforts were not futile. Very soon, the goose began to tire, and Sarah gave her a relaxing bath. Then she laid Comma on a cloth for diagnosis. Almost immediately, Sarah remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. I can't remember the name of the medicine. It came in a fancy jar and was very expensive. But Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. When I was like 2 or 3, I was a big fan of The Wonder Years, and I always wanted to be Fred Savage. So I told my mom from the time I was like 2 that I wanted to be a famous actor. And she thought it was just like a phase that I was going through, so she didn't really think anything of it. But by the time I was 5 and I kept, you know, saying I wanted to be an actor, she finally signed me up for acting camp at Actors Playhouse when they were still in Kendall. And I took the class for like 2 months, and then they had auditions for The Nerd. And I auditioned and I got the part and I had a great time. And David Orisco was the director. And my mom had got divorced like 1.5 years before, and like by the last show they had started dating, and now he's my stepdad. And then after that I continued to work in the area. I did Pippin here, and I did Damn Yankees, and continued to work, you know, regionally at Coconut Grove Playhouse and Actors Playhouse. And then when I was 12, I decided that I wanted to take a big chance, and I auditioned for Les Mis at the Jackie Gleason Theater. And there was like 3,000 kids, and I was number 2,998. So I was there from 7 in the morning to like 7 at night. And I went in and I did my thing, and at the end of my audition, they said, "Go get your mom. How would you like to move to New York?" And so I went and got my mom, and we had just moved back into our house after the hurricane. We didn't live in our house for 3 years because Andrew pretty much destroyed our house, and we were having trouble with contractors. So we had just moved back, and my mom wasn't really optimistic about leaving the house, you know, immediately after we just moved back in, but she said yes, and they said, "Well, we have a couple more people to see, and if we decide to give you the part, we'll call you in the next day or so." I didn't go to school the next day. I stayed by the phone, and no one called. So 2 weeks later, I was taking a nap, which I never do, and they called and said that I got the part, and then 2 weeks later, I left to New York, and I did the show for 6 months. That's pretty much it.